Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Is doing and what is still going to do in us and through us in the name of Jesus. I pray this morning that we'll continue to be conscious of the kind of life we have in the name of Jesus. It's a privilege and an honor to have that kind of life that God has. We thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you aware that Adam did not have Zoe? He didn't have Zoe. He had a life that could be corrupted. Thank you. So that sin, that the enemy does not tempt us. Amen. But this life we have is a different kind of life. I was talking with AK, we're at home, and we saw a particular scene that, you know, people were living riotously. And I told them that that riotous living was not created that scenario you are watching was created by the kind of life that they had. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether you got that. You see, the life you have will create your atmosphere. You don't catch that? It's not your atmosphere or surroundings that determine your life. It is the life, that kind, and there are kinds of life. There are different kinds of life. Among the insect world, there are different kinds of insects. What makes each insect different from the other insect is the kind of life. I don't know whether you got me right. So what makes you a believer is a kind of life you possess. It's called Zoe. And that makes you far above. You are far above. Superior to anything that is ever created. And that's why you ought not to look down on yourself. Amen. You don't know why Mordecai did not stand up for Haman. It's because he knew he was not that kind of person that bows to a mere mortal. The only person that you should bow to is the Almighty. So he didn't bow. Praise God. He's not proud. He was not proud. It's not pride. Do you understand me? Amen. So when Muslim is beefing you that you call yourself the son of God, it's not a lie. And there is no apologies to tender. If you like, enter Lagoon. It doesn't change the fact that you have Zoe life. And when you argue with a Muslim, one of the most dangerous things for them to do is to prove who is the risen Lord. Amen. I'm trusting God that a day will come when they will say, okay, you're a Muslim. Cut this guy's head off and I'll put his head back. You know that kind? God will help us. Amen. Brother Odu, you're welcome. Quite a long time. Can you please appreciate Brother Odu? Hallelujah. This morning, I want to deal with something controversial. That time you have given me will not be enough. And you know why I said so. Because I need to lay it down properly. It's controversial because it can be misunderstood. And for the past 20 years thereabouts in this ministry, I have not spoken along these lines before. Even though in the believers class we've touched a few of those things, but today I'm putting it together into a message. Hallelujah. You probably wonder what is pastor trying to say. I want to talk to you about you and your pastor. Amen. You now know why you have to be very, very careful to listen to me properly and you don't misunderstand me. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Ephesians 4, we'll start from there and then we'll build the thoughts. Is it possible to reduce the volume of this fan? Yes, I want the fan, but it's too much. Are you there? And what did he do? And he, Jesus, gave some to be apostles. Hallelujah. And some to be prophets. And some to be what? Evangelists. And some to be what? Pastors and teachers. Now, there's a theological debate whether it meant pastors, comma, and teachers, or whether it meant pastors and teachers together as a combination. Praise God. But evidence shows that it's possible to be a pastor and not have a teaching grace. And it's possible to have a pastor, are you with me, that has a teaching grace. And it's possible to be a teacher and not have the capacity to pastor. Do you understand me? Amen. But this morning, I'm talking to a about a person that has both combinations. Is that okay? And I also want to say this up front. It is possible to be an apostle and also carry a pastoral grace. Do you understand? There was a man called James, the brother of Jesus, who pastored the church in Jerusalem. He was an apostle. Are you with me? And of course, you see the way he wrote his epistles. Brother Paul, who was also an apostle, also doubled as an evangelist and a teacher and a prophet. Praise God. In fact, we can even say, but that was, you could maybe say, maybe he was more of an evangelist, but it was not really, that evangelistic thing was not very strong in Paul. But you see that strength of the evangelist in the life of Peter. Anytime Peter stood to speak, men gave their lives to Christ. I don't know whether you understand me. He was an apostle, but you could see that strength in his calling. Praise God. But in the present dispensation that we live in, we don't have too much, and it's even we have a confusion. Who is exactly an apostle? Who is exactly a prophet? Who is exactly an evangelist? I think it's only the office of the evangelist that doesn't have false evangelists. I didn't read in the old Bible that there was a false evangelist. But there are false apostles, false prophets, false pastors, false teachers. But no false evangelists. Blessed art thou if thou art an evangelist. For thou shalt not be caught in the sin of being false. Hallelujah. Praise God. Except you step out of your calling and you want to become a prophet. Because that really lies the danger. That will make you false. Because people assume that because you don't know that an evangelist also operates the gift of word of knowledge. So when I look at somebody like Pastor Adeboye, all of you call him pastor. But technically, he's an evangelist. Give Pastor Adeboye any scripture, come and give your life to Jesus. That's where he ends his messages. Praise God. That's what I see. I'm not in redeemed, so I don't know that pastoral, but that pastoral is not very, very strong. So it's possible that it could be a pastor that has a very strong evangelistic flair. Now, are you making sense of what I'm saying so far? So it's possible, so when you look at somebody, it may be a combination of so many things and not one single thing. So as occasion serves you, flow as grace is given to you. Amen. Let people be sitting down and be doing research on you, whether you're a prophet or evangelist. That's their business. Amen. Is that okay? But today I'm talking to you about you and your pastor. Glory to God. The pastoral office is one of the most sensitive, if you mind me saying that, one of the most sensitive ministry in the body of Christ. Unfortunately, we look at this scripture and look at it as if it's about ranking. So everybody wants to become apostle. At the time it was bishop. My Lord Bishop. Praise God. Everybody wants to be a bishop. But when every idiot now becoming a bishop, the real bishops have migrated from being bishop to become apostle. Now, every idiot wants to become an apostle. Now, I don't know where we are going next. whether we become apostle. Praise God. Or most senior apostle. After that, where we go? We become Pope. We'll be competing with Pope for his title. Look, listen to me. There's no point in pursuing titles. Just simply do what grace has been given to you to do. Like I said, leave other people to sort their problem out. Whether you are an apostle, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a cleaner, just do your work. Leave it to Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is it about this pastoral office that is so important? From the Old Testament, from way back, from the Old Testament, the issue of the pastor has been very, very germane. Very important. In fact, the Bible informed us in Psalm 77 verse 20, it told us that thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So in a way, apart from Moses being a prophet, Moses acted as what? As a pastor. So you see, the function of a pastor was basically to lead them into their destinies. Praise God. So it was not, how I put it, it was not, it's not about title. It's about your functionality. Praise God. You have a care over a certain people. It's called a flock. Technically, we're all a flock. We're all sheep. Is that a plural for sheep? Sheep is sheep. There's no sheep. But it's good for us in Africa to know that it's called sheep. Hallelujah. It's for people that say it's sheep. They have their problem. Praise God. Amen. And so, that tells you that without this ministry, there was no way Moses would have been able to successfully bring them in. Praise God. If you look at Psalm 80, look at Psalm 80 verse 1. Psalm 80 verse 1. It says, give ear, O shepherd of what? Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like what? Like a flock. That tells you that a pastor is actually an offshoot of the real pastor himself, and that is God. Hallelujah. When you look at what we talk about, the fivefold ministries, and just talk the fivefold ministries, all the ministries in the body of Christ are offshoots of the reality himself. In Christ, all things dwell. In him, all things consist. And everyone is to reflect a brand or a, you know, something about him. Every animal you see in creation speaks about one thing about God's nature. Not one thing can capture the complete essence of God. If the animal world, as vast and diverse as they are, they still can't explain God. So he created the material world. He created the seas. He created all those things, are still speaking about another aspect of him. He just didn't create those things because he was playing Kimulishi, let me throw fire, create fire. No. That is a nature that is showing you. I hope you're with me, church. Then, he now created those galaxies, each one speaking about his nature. So for you to understand God completely, you must study everything. And by the time you finish everything, you still find out that you are still not completed. There is still X or no that tended to eternity. So at the end of the day, all you do is just fall down and say, Lord, Mugbedi. That's why for me, I don't use words like awesome for, that car is awesome. I think those words are too heavy for mortals. You only use those kind of words for he who alone is awesome. Hallelujah. So for me, I have reserved certain words only for him. I don't use it among mortals. Though it's English word, but for me, and myself, I don't know whether my wife will join me. Praise God. I don't use those words anyhow. And there are songs that don't move me anyhow. Because those songs does not allow my head to swell. You don't understand. Can I take it back to Yoruba?
But when you talk about the awesomeness of the Almighty, I say, that is a song. It came from the Spirit. May you see properly. Amen. That you may sing properly. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So this tells me that God is the first shepherd. That is his nature. That's what he has been doing since. He has been shepherding. He has been leading the great flock. And he called that he was one who shined out from the place of glory. He sits between the cherubim, the eye and the loved one. Now, we read the book of Ezekiel. And the book of Ezekiel is very instructive. Because it is in that book, and among many other books, God began to pick quarrels with the leaders of Israel. Praise God. And what was the quarrel? He said they refused to shepherd his people. It's a great sin when a man has the position of a shepherd and he's not doing his work. You can go to hell via it. Because God does not take his people with play. He doesn't play with his people. His people are very, very, very dear. Very, very dear to him. May God give us the heart of a shepherd. We need that heart. I need that heart. So when Jesus Christ said, the good shepherd will go and look for the sheep that is lost on the mountain. He will leave the 99. And I wonder, what exactly is the problem of this man? Why can't you stick with 99 and make sure that the female among the 99 can give birth to get more children? Is that not what you should do? Praise God. But that is not the way he behaves. I read a story, a commentary on John the Beloved. An old aged man spoke to one of the bishops and said he found a young man in a particular province, called the young man and handed over that young man to the bishop. I said, watch over this soul for me. And he left. Years after, he came back. And he said to the bishop, first thing I said, the soul I am the Lord Jesus committed into your hands. Where is the soul? Did you get that? The soul I am my Lord committed into your hands. Where is he? The man said, alas. said, the man is dead. He has gone into the world. He has become an armed robber. And he said, and I committed the soul to your hands and you allowed him to die. Say, where is he? He says, an armed robber. He's hiding in one. And John went looking for him in his den. The guy had become a captain of armed robbers. He left the church to become a captain of Jagudas. And when he got there, you know, when he entered, they was like, Osman, what are you doing here? You know, you are out of Agbo. I don't know whether they had a book. But it was Colorado they had. I don't know. But he said, I want to see your captain. Tell him John is here. When the guy heard that John had come, the guy fled. Have you been a sinner like that that will run when it is time for you to give your life to Christ? I remember the time they came to invite me. I was one born again, but I backslided. Is it backslided or backslided? And they came and said, there is a man of God in town. Let us go and listen to him. I knew if I go, I will have to give my life to Christ finally. And I don't want to give my life to Christ. So I did everything possible under the heaven to make sure that I don't go. I fought with my friends. I quarreled with them. I abused them. They didn't even answer me. They said, we are waiting for you. And I looked at your mobruku. If I go for this program, I know I will be born again. But, well, there's nothing I can do. And I went to the program. I didn't hear anything that Umar Opa said. I didn't hear anything. Because I'm just waiting for the grace for my escape. When the man was praying and everything, he just said, somebody's here. And you are in New Orleans, you are there. By the time you finish my description, those around say, it is you they are talking to. That's how I came out and said, okay, I'm not going back again. Hallelujah. May the Lord find you. God has that heart. He doesn't play with any of his people. One of the most dangerous things to do is to attack his people. It's very, very dangerous. That's why I beg you, please, on Facebook, don't go and be saying rubbish there. It is dangerous. It is what? There's a one young guy in Futa that his specialty is attacking pastors and tithes. I've called him before to talk to him that this thing is not your business. Every church has their way of doing things. Hallelujah. And before their master, each man stands or falls. It's not up to you to go there and you're abusing them and correcting them and putting them down. It will not end well. He's not listening. If his own pastor can't talk to him, both of them will sort themselves out. Praise God. So speaking to you about you and your pastors, I've not even started. They say 20 more minutes. Today, I hope everybody has finished exams. Glory to God. There's no cause for control. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 23. Again, we see here, verse 3. Again, we see here, God having a quarrel with men who were pastors. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Verse 4. He said, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. So you begin to see why a pastor is important in your life. God said, I will give shepherds. He is the one that gives shepherds. You can't rise up and call yourself a shepherd if God has not prepared you for that role. Hallelujah. And the things the Bible said they will do is that what will they do? They will feed God's people. The primary assignment of a pastor is to feed the flock. Remember when Jesus came back and was talking to Peter, he said, Peter, loveth me more than this. He said, Lord, you know I love thee. He said, feed my what? My sheep. Take care of my sheep. When Paul was ranting and was raging, Jesus came to him and said, why do you hit your foot against the bricks? His people didn't look like bricks. His people looked vulnerable. His people looked like weaklings. His people didn't know how to fight. They didn't have political power. They didn't have political influence. They didn't have money. They had no jack, no one to turn to. But Jesus called them bricks. Hallelujah. So you can't keep on hitting them without repercussions. There will be repercussions. Praise God. So when the Bible calls us the people of his pasture, you have to know that we are really his people. Amen. And it says, I'm in verse 4. Why are you taking back to 3? Let me ask you to do that. Keep me in 4. Please hurry up. Otherwise I will discard you. I think I will discard you. Praise God. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more. The Bible says, your children shall be taught of the Lord. Grace shall be their what? Their peace. There's a correlation between being taught and walking in peace. When you are properly taught and you are properly brought up, you will walk in peace. It is God's desire that his people walk in peace. And the work of the pastor is to make sure that you are properly taught. Praise God. Now, if you go, you follow me to Acts of Apostles when Paul was leaving. When Paul was leaving, Paul made certain powerful statements. I want us to consider. In Acts of Apostles chapter 20, verses 28 to 35, Paul said, take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you what? Overseers. What were they supposed to do? Feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Feed what? The church of God. Your pastor is primarily responsible for your feeding. The kind of meals you take, the kind of water you drink, the kind of places you go, all those things are very, very important to your pastor. You can't just wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to that church. I can't come on Sunday. I want to go and hear that. You are breaking the edge. You are breaking the law. That person is not your pastor. So he should not be the one feeding you. Many of you, you try to get your food from internet. Doesn't work. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Doesn't work. If you are hungry, ask for more. Hallelujah. A pastor friend said, being a liver twist is accepted before God. You ask for more. If you want more, And he said, this one that pastor teaches on Sunday or Tuesday is not enough. Come home and meet me and I will open up to you. Praise God. But please don't go to a strange place and be eating strange food. Am I talking? Don't eat strange food. And am I saying that this is the only place where food is served? I'm not saying so. But in reality, in real life, a sheep does not stray to somebody's pen and say, I want to go and eat there. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't make sense for me to sit in my house and my neighbor's son that lives down the road will walk and say, sir, daddy, when are you eating? I want to come and eat. The question will be, where is your father? Where is there no food at all? And I said, they're serving eba. I do eat eba. I don't know whether it is in you are eating. What do you think I'll do? I've organized skin. Go back to your father. Go and eat that food. Praise God. Are you with me? The pastor is responsible for your feeding. That is his job. That is our work. And it will do you well to pay attention. And that's why you are blessed with so many seasoned men of God that come with the variety. Now, I've told you before that eating one meal every day, every time, is not very healthy for your soul. It takes training. That was a trial on his own. Praise God. How many of you love... What is the food you love? Rosam, what is the food you love? Eh? Don't worry, the sisters won't care. Don't worry. Padayam. Kaka limbro no seki limanan de riba. It lies rice and stew with no beans inside. Plantain. And beans also brings variety. Amen. It changes the color. Amen. With plantain. Is it soft, hard, medium? Amen. Chopped one. Praise God. Life theory. Sisters will quickly marry you. Well, there's some brothers that they like pandeyam in the morning, afternoon, and evening. To such brothers, the Lord will help you. Because these mother and sisters I don't think that some of us can't eat pandeyam. We don't like it. See, there is something about pandeyam. So when you are doing it, your sweat mixes. Praise God. Do I lie? Am I lying? See, we don't know that your sweat is that. That's a pleasure. We enjoy the agun. Glory to God. That's a joy. Amen. But listen to me. If you try it, eat pandeyam in the morning. Let them serve you in the afternoon. Let them serve you in the evening. Like me, by the following Monday, serve you pandeyam. You say, be careful there. Enough is enough. This is please stop it. Now imagine them giving you pandeyam for 40 years. Morning, afternoon, evening. Morning, afternoon, evening. You say, I'm going back to Egypt. So don't blame them. Don't blame them. It's a discipline. And that discipline was what Elijah faced. You remember when he was in that river, what was that place? That ravens were bringing him food. They were bringing him only one kind of food. They bring him in the morning, they bring him in the evening. And how much were they going to bring him? I don't know how much it could have been. And he was eating that, and for how long he ate, we don't know. So he could have said, Lord, can you change the diet? Sometimes you have to learn. Amen. Some of you feel, what did we just hear? It's holiness, 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 holiness. Let me go and hear big ref. Big ref may not help you. Big ref may not help you. And it has not helped many people in any case. Praise God. But variety is the spice of life. So you hear me, you hear mommy, you hear pastor. Below you hear mommy, below you hear pastor. Daily you hear pastor. Down so you hear Father Ogi, you hear Pastor Joshua, you hear all of them talk. And it's like a blend. Praise God. But it is good to pay attention to the food you eat. You can't eat anywhere. You can't eat anyhow. And you cannot eat anything. In the book of Ezekiel, God said he had an issue. He had an issue with the shepherd, but he also had an issue with the sheep. He said, I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will begin cattle and cattle. What was the judgment? He said, certain cattle went up river to go and drink and muddled the water. So that the ones that drank downstream were drinking muddled water, which was poisonous. And over time, it made them lean. So you see in a particular place, fat cattle, and in the same congregation, lean cattle. And that's because the shepherds were not doing their work. Because all the cattle ought to be fat. Praise God. And the purpose is not to come and slay them. The purpose is to make present them to the Lord as fattened cattle. But the Lord is not planning to eat you anyway. Praise God. And when you see brothers who, if he, and it's not just not brothers, even when you look at the churches, when you look at people, I sometimes wonder, if the Lord blesses us in this church, and I have about, every Sunday we are grossing in about 100 million every Sunday. Now that's an awful lot of money. I'm asking myself, what will I do with the money? What will I do with the money? You now understand why some of them buy jets. Because they don't know what to do with the money. It's easy to blame them, but if you fall into the same situation, what will you do with that amount of money? That's why you say, how much did they do in university, Pastor? Say, university, the license for university is 500 million to even get the license. One offering has taken care of that. Do you understand? Then what else again? We'll put with the 1 year's offering, we build the university. So, what's the problem? Because we are like the Laodicean church. We have need of nothing. May the Lord help your pastors. You think it's easy to be a pastor? It's not easy. To know what to feed you with, it costs us time. In prayers and in research. I've woken up since 4:30. In fact, I've been thinking about what to preach for the past 1 week. Before I decided I would go preach this message. Then when I decided I was going to preach it, I have to now be doing research and doing research. If you know the number of reference points I have here, I can talk for the next 4 hours. So it's a work to even compress it. Praise God. So the Bible says, those who labor among you, pay attention to them. Who labor in what? In teaching and doctrine. In administration and all that, it takes time. After we are finished, we'll still be here. Some of the times we leave around 3 p.m. Some of you have forgotten that you came to church. We hold meetings. Yesterday, we left early yesterday. Pastor Bello comes every time we are holding meetings, and here you just look at us and say, these people, is it not? Look at their heads. They are not taller than me. It's not by tall, it's by grace. But you must appreciate that grace that your pastor carries. Hallelujah. Are you feeling uncomfortable? I'm still coming. I've not even started. Verse 29. For I know this. Why must we pay attention to the kind of food we give you? It says, I know this in verse 29. It said, for after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. A few people have drawn away disciples, but it matters not. Hallelujah. But we are careful. That's what Paul said, that feed them. If you are properly fed, it will be easy for you to identify error where you see it. You will not know a counterfeit 1,000 if you don't know the original 1,000, right? If you have not tasted bitter leaf, you will not know how sweet sugar is. Say you know. You don't know. I recommend you go and taste bitter leaf after the service so that you can appreciate sugar. Amen. Therefore, the other responsibility, verse 31, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with what? With tears. Yes, part of the feeding will require us warning you. Part of it will become watching over you. Part of it will be like, come, what's happening to you? I said it yesterday. I said there are three people you should not lie to. You don't lie to your doctor. Number one. Who is the other person you don't lie to? You don't lie to your lawyer. Number two, you don't lie to your pastor. Praise God. I said, praise God. Your pastor looks and says something is not right. You say, Pastor, we are okay. It is your life. If you are not okay, tell him you are not okay. So they can know what to do with you. Whether it's prayer they want to pray for you, whether it's counseling they want to give you, whether it's deliverance they want to do, they will know what to do. But when they are looking at you and they are asking that, I perceive in my spirit, you need help. And sometimes he may not even perceive. Nothing is wrong with you coming to him and said, sir, something is not right too. Praise God. Oh, some of you are afraid. If I come and tell pastor, the next prayer, the next Bible something, he's going to talk about me. Somebody came to me yesterday. The brother is just short and round. He said he has this problem. I didn't even know that brothers have this problem. Can you believe that these two people have that kind of problem? By the time you have finished, the neighbor knows that. No, we don't do things like that. Yes, in this kind of relationship, you are vulnerable. Praise God, you will be vulnerable. It's a risk that they can use as an example. But it's better for you to be helped than to be proud. I don't know whether God was saying. It's better you are helped. You remember the Yoruba saying, the husband saw the snake and the wife killed the snake. It doesn't matter who killed the snake, provided the snake is dead. Look, let me tell you a life experience. When I was young, I was in university, I was in the ESCO. And when I say ESCO, I'm talking about fellowship ESCO. We were the one conducting deliverance. And suddenly the spirit of loss came upon me. I don't know how it came. I don't know through whom it came. I just found out that loss was just a problem for me. I was just lost it after every sister I saw. And I could not explain it. I couldn't control it. And I knew that if God does not intervene, I was going to fornicate. And I battled with that. Then I kept asking myself, who will I go and tell in the fellowship that the old brother Shehi has this problem? And they would not say, so ain't no any problem, so the same level I just want. You know that kind of thing? Then all my PR and my packaging will just take a nosedive. I battled with that thought. Eventually I said, look, it's better I'm humbled than I'm destroyed. I said, by the grace of God, when I come back from church today, I'll go and meet the fellowship leaders and say, egba mio. That was what I decided when I was going to church that day. When I entered church that day, it was Bishop Okonkwo that was preaching. Just came up. Hallelujah. You know, many of you don't know Bishop Okonkwo. Okay, open to Romans chapter 6. Let us read. It was reading Bible when the word came out like a beam. Went into my heart and broke the chains. And I was free from lust. No, but I didn't tell anybody till I'm telling you again now. Can you believe I had that problem? I had it. So when you're telling me you have it, I can understand what you are going through. So nothing that's happened to you has not happened to me. Hello? They will look at them, you are looking at me. You are pitying me. Hey, your own turn is coming. Your own turn is coming. Be pitying me there. We need to watch over you. There's something about the giftings that the pastor carries. One of it is that somewhere they just get to know. They may not be able to point it and say exactly like a prophet said, you fornicated yesterday. You were wearing a yellow dress when you fornicated. Okay, inaccurate. Omwe. Kotru. Pastor Bakari was that deadly. Pastor Bakari would come to church, he would pray. Just, I'm smelling fornication. If you fornicated, get up. You won't stand up. You won't stand up. I said, get up. You're just going to congregation. You walk. You walk. Oh, yeah? It is true, sir. Now, I'm a prophet, too. Me, I'm not a prophet, too. But somewhere, I can know if something's not right with you. I told you of a lady that I was speaking to. I was jumping around, came to me and said, Pastor, one sister fornicated. I can't believe it. She's a deeper life sister. Fornicated one guy. I said, a deeper life girl fornicated and you are not afraid. You are not even afraid to find out what led to it. He said, you are looking, I'm disappointed. But if a deeper life sister can form you, there's hope. Pastor, Emomio, you don't know me. Me, say you. The way you sit down, the way you just open your leg, the way you just wear clothes, the way you just drop around anyhow. Pastor, you don't know me. I said, okay, I've said well. It was not more than 2 months when I got phone call. Pastor, I want to see you. I now laughed. I said, trouble has knocked. And I now got there. I said, Alpha. As he came to me, hey, Pastor, thank you. I said, it has happened. He said, what? I said, you're fornicated. He said, how do I know? I said, I can see it. I said, how did it happen? My friend, we're reading.
Very good.
In the night, I was not completing the story for him. I said, I was there. Then, light went. Then, rain fell. Then, there was thunder and lightning, said Benny. And then, both of you held each other. Said, the lightning, said Benny. And you now roll to the ground. Said, okay, that's all. Did I not warn you? I didn't know it was like that. But I warned you. Praise God. So a pastor has that oversight. It's part of the giftings that they have. I remember when I was a copper, I used to go around my flock. There was this young man. I would be in my house. My house is very close to the school. I was just there. And his thought would just come into my mind. I think his name was Olumide also. And I would just tell my friend, I'm going to say Olumide, and I'll get up. No, I don't know where he is in the school. It was as if God would just remote control me to where he is. When he's about to hug a girl, my neighbor was back with me. He would talk back, pastor, can you imagine me? One day he had to say, are you chasing me? I said, I don't know. Holy Ghost knew that this is your life, you will give it. By fire and by force. The good thing is that I left, I never knew all of them, where all of them left, but at least I committed them to the grace of God. But I saw their leader, Kenneth, in Lagos, along that airport, Air Force Road. And I saw Kenneth. In fact, he was one who called me from back. Brother Shea. And I turned down. Kenneth! And he ran, scooped me. Why are you doing? He said, I'm not a pastor. You, that I was chasing up and down, you are not a pastor. The wonders will never end. And I said, Lord, that means I should not give up on anybody. There's a brother that left this church that will not come to church on time because of beans. I was talking to him. When I was chatting with him, he has graduated now. He said he's now in Bible studies, leading Bible study. You leading Bible study. God, I give you glory. There are people I'm believing God that I will see in days of glory. That they say, if not for you. That's the job of a pastor. Are you with me? You hold your head steady because we watch over you. Of course, we'll ask questions. Of course, we want to know what's happening in your life. Don't make it difficult. Don't hide. It doesn't do well. It doesn't go well or end well for such. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why in Proverbs 27, 23, it says, to be diligent to know the state of your flock. Be diligent to know their state. So, sometimes when many of you go back, you go home and you come back, and I said, how are you? You think I'm asking about how you are? Did you get that? I'm not interested in whether you have malaria or you don't have malaria. I'm asking about your spiritual state. How are you? Some of you never go to church for all the time you were at home. You were watching film from here up and down. You were on Instagram. Which other one are they on? And Netflix, you are watching all kinds of stupid things. You come back to church. And I say, how are you? And I say, Pastor, I'm fine. You are sick. You are not fine. You may look it, but you are not. Eventually, it will show that you have carried viruses and Trojan. And we have to start doing antivirus. We have to use antivirus, antidrojan. And that may take us another one semester. By the time we are trying to finish, you are going back home again. How long will you, when will you prosper in the things of the Spirit? So don't make it difficult for us, I beg you. Hallelujah. Be on fire. Retain the fire. And keep in touch. One called me and said, Pastor, you know me. I said, I don't know you. I said, after service, you just come and say, Pastor, good afternoon, I'm going. And you walk away. How do I know you? I don't know you. John chapter 10. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 verse, I think 10. Let's look at 10. John 10. It's not in my, it's not here. Please, hurry up. He said,
He said, the thief cometh, but what? No, give me where he said, I know my sheep. That's where I'm going to. This, I don't want to get distracted because this will take me off course. I know my sheep. And my sheep what? Knows my voice. Can we call you back? One of the greatest problems I have with people marrying out of this church is the fact that it's difficult for me to know who they are. Are you with me? And someone came and said, I'm interested. One young man is interested in me. And I said, I don't know the young man. He said, the guy said he knows you because he was in Futa. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know him. But any case, I want to know his pastor. Ask him to send me the name and the phone number of his pastor. I want to talk to his pastor. He said, his father is a pastor. I can't talk to his father. Because his father will obviously defend him. Do you understand me? So that's a bad case. But the reason why that is that if you are going out and you want to marry, I want to know that I'm handing you over to somebody that will take care of you. It's not that I'm handing over to a wolf that will eat you up. I don't know whether you're with me. You can't come to me and say, Pastor, I saw a dancer. One brother was, he came to me then. He said, Pastor, I have found this woman. I want to marry her. I said, how did you find her? He said, she was walking in front of my house. And I said, yeah, and I walked up to her, said, will you marry? I said, will marry me? And the brother said to the guy, Monique, what happened, baby bros? He got angry and left the church. Because I would not sanction it. Because I don't know. He just brought a complete stranger. Praise God. I want you to, see, I want you to be accountable to somebody. That if we need to ask, the person can give me a complete dossier of you. Whether we can trust you or whether we can't trust you. There are some people I can't trust too. If you come to me and say, Pastor, I want to marry this person. I'll say, are you sure? I say, you are sure. The God, I will tell you, the God go with you. Do you follow me? And there are people I will say, have you considered my son or my daughter? In whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Check, boy. I'm talking my own now. Praise God. We need to, he said, my sheep hear my voice. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. And they hear my voice, and they will do what I tell them to do. That's what Pastor was trying to explain. If a member of this church, and we are giving you instruction, and you are saying you don't care about that instruction, then you are not part of this body. You belong elsewhere. There was one person like that we were talking to. He said, I don't believe in tithing. And we, all of us, yeah, sat down to talk to him and explain to him. With all the revelation of Pastor Ogi, all the prophetic gift of both Pastor Bello and Pastor Kini, and all the common sense that me simple pastor have, it didn't work. I said, sorry, we can't continue. So he carried their leg, they left. Life continues. Amen. Say they hear my voice. So one of the things that I know that makes me to know that I'm your pastor is that you listen to me. If you are listening to yourself, I say I have rev. God go with you. I'm not your pastor. You can come on Sunday. Please do what? Come and fellowship with us. But I'm not your pastor. So when you are saying that, Pastor, she is your pastor, I will deny you. I will tell them, I don't know you. They are not talking now. I know you are checking yourself. Does pastor know me? It is people that I know that I know. If I don't know you, I don't know you. Somebody got married. I said, Pastor, that person. I said, I don't know him. He was in PGT. Praise God, but I don't know him. How do I get to know you, may I ask? It's by relationship. You have to relate with me. Until your name and your face stick together in my memory. Something memorable about you that I can remember you for. That's how it works. It's not this casual, you come in and go out. Casual, come and go out. You come in through this way, you go through that way. Some come through the window and go through the roof. I can't know you. I can't know you. Say, I have to know you. Jesus Christ said, you remember chapter Matthew 7? Said, men will come on that day. I said, Lord, Lord, you do not cast out devils. You do not do all this. You do not do all that. I said, I know thee not. Because they were never there. They had no relationship with the great shepherd. Hallelujah. No, I warned you that this may be long, but I'm doing my best. I'm going to round up very soon. Praise God. Now look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. I'm going to start rounding up now. But God will help us. That rounding up can take another 30 minutes. Is that okay? I'm still rounding up. Do you know that the end time started the day Jesus rose from the dead? You don't know. He said the end is here. That was 2,000 years ago. Maybe I'm still going to do another 2,000. I know thee not. But on Tuesday, we'll talk about it. The eschatology, the second coming of Christ. Hallelujah. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Hallelujah. It's called recognition. Some of you may look at me and say, he's just a pastor of somewhere. Some of you may say, the man has no anointing. You can say anything. But listen to me. What you, your estimation of me will determine how much I can bless you. If you have a poor estimation of me, I can't do much. Even if fire is dropping from my mouth, it still won't bless you. That's the reality. It won't bless, I won't bless you. People you don't respect can't bless you. Amen. If you hate prosperity and you are always criticizing prosperous people, you will never prosper. Never. People who hated Pastor Kumi for holiness didn't live holy. Now, I may not agree with the way he went about it. Don't misunderstand me. I may not agree. When he said that holiness is your earring, your scarf, I may not agree. But the doctrine of holiness cannot be removed from the Bible. It said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. They've not removed it. So the people criticizing holiness, go and see the result of their lives. So Jesus said here, if you recognize a person because he's a prophet, that grace in his life will bless you. What happened to the widow of Zarephath? It's recognition. The same Elijah was in Israel for how long? I don't know. And he was going in and coming out amongst them, and they did not see that the solution to their problem was in their midst. Now, who will follow Elijah? His jacket. He had only one jacket. Pomo, dried pomo, was his suit. He had this long, wild hair, beard, you know, crazy, fierce-looking guy. You can't, who will ever think so, except you're in the spirit? So Jesus Christ said, there were many widows in Israel in those days. The gods did not send Elijah to any of them because they did not recognize him. So they could not get the prophet's reward because they did not recognize a prophet was in their midst. But when he got to that widow of Zarephath and he said, give me to eat. And the woman said, as thy Lord God liveth. Who told a Gentile about the Lord God? Who told the Gentile that Elijah was a prophet of him? It's called recognition. So please, adjust your compass. Adjust your perception. So that it can go well with you in Jesus' name. And when you recognize that this is a brother, he may not be a member of the church, but you know the brother is in need. Give him water to drink. God says he will not forget to reward you. Every act of kindness you commit, God will repay you back. Hallelujah. So don't just say, it doesn't come to our church. Where do you fellowship? Fellowship in where? You are not a member of our church. Garrett, you're outside. Somebody asked me, are you a winner? You remember the story I told you? I said, do I look like a loser? Pastor told of that incident of two guys that hid themselves in Okwebe Alley. And they got there, hey, you hit my car. The guy looked at me and said, Are you a winner? I mean, you're a winner. I'm a winner. Yeah, you're a winner. Okay. Ah, okay, Jack, because you're a winner. Everybody, enter his car. When your Christianity is my sticker, I'm sorry for you, between you and your car, you're both of you have a problem. There's a man who put at the back of his car, "I drive by faith and not by sight." And he entered into a ditch and died there. And they captured it, "I drive by faith." Please drive by sight. Praise God. My friend said there are many born again cars than owners in Nigeria. Don't be like that. Hallelujah. I'm closing. I have four scriptures or five to do, but I'm closing. Galatians chapter 6, 7 to 8. Yes, just let me talk my own. This morning I will talk. Is that okay? You have been looking at time for me. Today, I'm not looking at time. Be not deceived. That's why you shouldn't look at time. God is not mocked. You see, that's prophetic. Hallelujah. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Amen. So be careful with what you are sowing. Every action is a sowing. Every action is what? Is a sowing. Now pay attention to what he's saying now. The next verse now says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit do what? Reap what? Life everlasting." Verse 9. And he said, "And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, this scripture was, if you look at verse 6, it's better to have seen verse 6 first. Can you give me? Now, it said, "Let him that is taught in the word." What should he do? What should he do? What should he do? What is this communicating with? "Unto him that does what? Teacheth." If you refuse to communicate to the person who is teaching you and is bringing you up, it's as if you were sowing to the flesh. Did you hear what I'm saying? You are sowing what? To the flesh. You have been blessed. And you cannot rise up and go meet the person who blessed you and say, "Man of God, you bless me." "Oh God, you bless me. I'm dropping this and offering." Now, I'm not asking for the offering. Praise God. That's why I say you can misunderstand it. But at the same time, you need to know it. Praise God. You need to learn to respond. Now, if Pastor Dele blessed you, what stops you from coming to him and telling Pastor, "Thank you this afternoon. I was blessed"? Sometimes after we have preached, we feel as if nothing happened to us. We feel as if nothing came out of us. We feel as if there was no virtue. We feel as if, what did I even say? Because some of you, the way I look at your face, I come out and go, and it's like we are discouraged. We need encouragement. And now, but you were blessed, but you have perfected the heart of pretense. You just look like that, you know. Fine guy, just look. And just go your way. That thing that you heard will not do you any good. Because the person who communicated those things to you, you did not appreciate him or her. Praise God. I'm not asking you to come and tell lie. If the thing didn't bless you, it didn't bless you. Do you follow me? But if he blessed you, find a way of communicating. And if God has blessed you with money, drop money in his account. Praise God. It's a spiritual truth, though. It's now see why I say this thing, you get as a bee. Yeah. Hallelujah. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Verse 7, he now said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man swear, that shall he also reap. He that sow to the flesh shall of that flesh reap corruption." So sowing to the flesh, is it not showing appreciation? It will corrupt you. This truth in your hand, that rev in your hand will kill you eventually. It's a spiritual law. Hallelujah. Don't worry. I know you still greet me tomorrow. Abby? Verse Hebrews 13, verse 7. I will finish. Give me 10 minutes, I'm through. Praise the Lord. This is by the grace of God. Remember them which have rule over you, and who have done what? Spoken unto you the word of God. They had rule over you, and they've spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith what? Follow. Considering the end of their conversation. Conversation means the end of their life. How did they end? I will be deceiving myself if I assume all of you will be here for the next 10 years. It's not likely I will see you next year. You won't be here next 10 years. But listen to me. Don't forget the foundations that was put in your life. Don't forget the work and the labor we put into your life. We have an investment in your life. Amen. What did I say we have? We have an investment. Some of you go to Facebook and you are greeting Arome. Say, Daddy, happy birthday. Does Arome know you? How is Arome your daddy? That you must be greeting him on Facebook. Will Arome see it? Does he know you? There are many things we do that isn't right. Oh, you appreciate him, praise God, but he's not your daddy. He has not labored once. Is it tear? Or, no, the sweat. That's a drop of sweat on your life. And it is him you go and celebrate on Facebook. When Pastor Bello was doing bad, I didn't see anybody go there and say, my daddy, I appreciate you. It is a Roman you are celebrating. I'm warning you, don't let angel beat you. Praise God. Remember them that have had rule over you and have spoken to you the word of God. Remember them. Don't just say, I thank God for Brother Gbile, but he did not pastor me. Are you with me? He didn't pastor me. He was not there when I had crisis. He was not there when my wife was giving birth. He was not there when I was raising my kids. He was not there when I had no money in my pocket. He wasn't there. When I was stranded, he wasn't there. He doesn't know me. He pastor Brogbele's him today. Doesn't know me from Jack. Praise God. Are you with me? The people who labored over you, who kept giving you that cancer, said, my brother is well with you, the Lord. Don't worry, the Lord will help you. And they are encouraging you. When it now came to the day of your exaltation, you didn't remember them. Oh, they prosper. It's not a pay. It's a fact. You must remember them. They invested in your life. You must remember them. So I beg you. I said this is going to be controversial. I beg you. I'm not cursing. It's a fact. It's a spiritual fact. It's a reality of the spirit. I can learn how to navigate through it. What stops you if in the next 20 years God makes you a multimillionaire? Will you not remember PGT? Look at the house we are struggling to build. Will you not remember, this church was struggling when I was in school. Let me just send 20 million to them. Praise God. You are now a millionaire. You are now giving to Baba. And you are spraying them with the Lord bless you. You are my father in the Lord. That thing will dry. Because without us laying that foundation in your life, you would not have been there to see them. So please be careful. Now, I will tell you the story of a young man. He was here. He grew up from this PGT. I gave him my computer to do his project, final year project. He was with it for over a year. He turned my computer dead. When he was going for his defense, I picked him up. He was having a problem. He was under pressure. Helped him. Took him to the exam hall, dropped him there. You know, this young man did not even write an acknowledgement. Our names were not there in his project thesis. He used to come and eat in our house, play there, do everything. We were not in this. So somebody else, far from that, he was acknowledging. He said, the thing didn't pay me, he paid me. But I didn't talk. I looked at continua. I will not, because of him, not help others. He left this place, introduced a star to us. And suddenly, 2 or 3 years down the line, I saw him on Facebook with another sister. Brother, what happened? He didn't get back to me. And I kept quiet. 10 years down the line, he came back to come and meet us at home. He said, Pastor, I'm in trouble. He said, what happened? He became a millionaire. He was rich. He married his banker.
And everything was going smoothly. Suddenly one day, his pastor invited a friend to come and do business talk. And the business was very, very attractive. And he carried the whole money in his account. He didn't discuss with his wife. He didn't discuss with his pastor. He gave it to the guest speaker. The guy carried money. Money, guest speaker, disappear. Wala wade. Are you with me? Wala now broke out at home. It was so bad that he said when he asked his wife, darling, food, the wife said, your leg is paining you. You don't know the way to the kitchen. He said, daddy, I was going to divorce my wife. I didn't believe that the thing can occur to me. I said, I know it can occur to you. But that time he was already doing Odingbe, he was eating town. You understand? Brother was already eating town, was tasting apple, you should not eat. It was just before Pastor Ashalu passed away, I had to address, please help me attend to this guy in Abuja before he throws away his family. His family was in Lagos, he went to sit down in Abuja. I've talked to him, he's not here, but you are there, go and help me follow him up. Praise God. Then when he came on Facebook, he said, Koza is the best church he has ever been in his life. That was when my hand was washed. Was Koza there when we were raising you from here? It happens like that. And it's painful. But there's nothing we can do about that. Life continues. But please, I beg you, don't come under that kind of atmosphere. You don't need it. Amen. Once a while, call. Once a while, how are you doing? Once a while, we just come. We're just passing through our crowd. We should say hello to you. Amen. Some of you will come. It is pastor that will give you food to eat. When God blesses you, bread you won't buy. It's not right. It's not right. I have a change of heart. Now let me close. Finally, I think I've said enough tonight, today, so that I will not be advised. Hallelujah. Pray for your pastors. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me pick it from 17. 17 and 18. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must, please pay attention, they must do what? Give account. Whether you know it. I feel sorry for all my senior colleagues in the ministry that have a church of 10,000, 20,000. I feel sorry. They are enjoying now. But the day they stand before God, I don't know how they would give accounts for all those souls. Is it bad? No. That is why they have a captain of 1,000, a captain of what? Of 100, and a captain of 50s. Praise God. But if you are not properly organized, it's going to be a nightmare. So the Bible says they'll do what? They will give account. That they may do it with joy and not with what? Grief. Now, who is it unprofitable for? Is it you? Not me. When you make it difficult for me to pastor you, it's unprofitable for you. Because the covering you have or should have, the blessings and the power and grace that should come through me to you, I can't reach you. Because you have just made it impossible for you to be helped. Verse 18, don't let me dwell on that. Verse 18, then I'll close. Pray for us. Many of you think that it is every day that fire is on our head. It is not so. There are days I feel like not coming to church on Sunday. Hello? There are days I don't feel like preaching. There are days I go up there, I have no rev, no anointing, no nothing. Praise God. But if you pray, even if I have nothing, immediately I mount the pulpit, things will come. Because God will honor your prayers. Because you have prayed for your pastor. You can't leave me like this. I'll be looking at you and say, I'm a strong man. No. Nobody's strong. Paul said, pray for us. If Paul said they should pray for him, who am I? You not pray for me. There's no hope. I will survive. Amen. Say, pastor, you pray for yourself. I'm spending my time praying for you. You should spend your own time praying for me. Praise God. Do you follow me? Paul said, pray for us. For we trust we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for us.
Pray for every one of us, all the leaders, pray for them. Those of you in different departments, pray for your leader that you will do well. Let's cultivate the habit of praying one for another. Don't just come to church and say, what did the pastor say today? It's a wicked spirit that is talking. If you have not prayed for your pastor, don't expect any rev to come to you. I'm making it a law now in the spirit, telling the angels, if anyone has not prayed, don't send any rev his way. Praise the Lord. It is well with us in Jesus' name. So, let me close with this. Revelation 7:17. Have I closed before? It says, for the lamp which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That is the final work of the great shepherd. That is what he wants to do. We are just under shepherds. By the time we are through, we will hand over every one of you back to him and say, Lord, these are your flock. Take them. It will be dangerous for me to stand there and say, Lord, I have nobody to present to you. I haven't spent 30 years in ministry or 40 years in ministry. It will be a monumental disaster. But Jesus is still the great shepherd and is the high bishop, is the great bishop of your soul. Don't make it difficult. You know, angels see God every day. Your angels see God every day. And they give report of you to God every day. And many of them give it unhappy. When God say, come, angel, Bolanle, come. Because maybe you are Bolanle, so the angels are assigned to Bolanle. So I guess they will call him, angel, Bolanle, come. How is Bolanle doing? Sir, I've been battling. She has been bringing demons to the house. I mean, look at scars on my body. There are scars. Want to know me? Want to know me? But Bolali will borrow Jesus. He says, okay. I'll tell Pastor Dele to go and interview. And Pastor Dele comes. Bolali is still not here. That's how the great shepherd is always sending people to you. Please don't make life difficult for your angels. Can we bow down to pray? Father, we thank you for this morning. We give praise and glory to your name. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can you pray for yourself? Can you pray for your pastor? Pray for yourself and pray for your pastors. Pray for your pastors. Pray for yourself, pray for your pastors. I've shared with you many things. Just trusting God that we will be better than this. As we go forward, the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for helping me to take off this weight. You have put this thing on my mind for a long time. I pray, Lord, that your people will understand. I pray that the enemy will not access them and he will not distort what I've shared with them. He will not bring confusion into their lives. The Holy Spirit will bring stability and prosperity into every one of them, that they will grow fat and become the cattle that, Lord, you'll be proud of in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that we will always have food to serve. We'll always have water to drink. You will provide us with the resources to build this church, to build this people, that they will become men and women of caliber in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, in Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. God bless you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many free field meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.